Let's commence to teach on what I discussed last time, what I call the courage to conquer. And like I said, I took that title from the book by Lester Sumrall, titled Courage to Conquer. I really love the title, though what he said in there may not be what I'm talking about. I can't even remember exactly all the things inside the book, but I just love the title, Courage to Conquer. And I want to use that to illustrate or to caption what I want to begin to discuss today. Now, this is actually a continuation, sort of, all right? Or there's a small bridge between last time thing we concluded discussing last time, which is the sayings of God. This is just, you know, acting upon the sayings of God, receiving the manifestation of the sayings of God in our lives, and fulfilling the reason why we were born. We've talked about the life of purpose in different times, all right? Or some time ago, explained the matter of the will of God. What I want to do in this season, by the grace of God, is to challenge and encourage the people of God to do what God wants them to do, not just to sit down and hear and be entertained and be blessed. In fact, before we read that 2 Peter chapter 1, let's quickly read something which happened at a time, and God had to correct the people of Israel about it. We'll read two of them. First, the book of Jeremiah chapter 2. There are so many scriptures to quote. If you read Ecclesiastes chapter 11, it says, he that watches the wind will not sow. And it also said that he that observes the clouds will not reap. That is, there is something to do in the time of seed. There's still work to do in the time of harvest. And that's why he said, he that watches the winds will not sow. What I'm saying is that when God wants to bless you, there are things he expects you to begin to do. Are you getting my point? Did you hear what I said? That is, when God wants to release his power into your life, his spirit will begin to kindle you to do certain issues. And that's where fear often comes to prevent people from receiving the harvest of the promises of God. Very important. Fear often prevents people from receiving the harvest of the promises of God. If you're going to read that Ecclesiastes chapter 11 I quoted a while ago, he said, he that watches the winds will not sow. I like the way, I think, New Living Translation or Today's Living Bible, either the Living Bible or Today's English Version, that's good news, says it. Is there anybody waiting for conditions to be perfect? We never get anything done. Are you getting my point? Yes. So, oftentimes, he said, he that watches the wind will not sow, and he said, he that observes the clouds will not reap. That is, when it comes to reaping also, the conditions will not be perfect. Are you getting my point? Yes. When you wanted to plant your seed, the conditions were not perfect. Yet you had to step out and plant the seed. So Isaac sowed in that land, and the same year he reaped 100-fold, even though the conditions were not perfect. You understand the logic there? Now, when the time comes also for you to reap your harvest, the conditions may not also be perfect. You planted your seed, and God poured water upon the seed that you sowed. In the same manner, when it is time to harvest, you may begin to have reasons why it is not yet harvest time. Do you follow? You may begin to reason that this thing may not work at this time. Sometimes what God just wants you to do is overcome that fear. Or let me put it like this. Oftentimes what you're just giving as excuses are nothing but fears. And fears must be overcome. Do you understand? You must overcome your fear. There are times that God wants you, in different aspects of life, God may say to you, this is the season. And you know by different ways, different signs, this is the season to get married. You may know that this is the season, all right, to maybe start a business. This may be the season to go back to go and get a higher degree. Those things happen, all right? What I was laughing was that when I went to preach this morning, somebody said, oh, why is it that godly and righteous men often marry late? I said, it's a lie. I just remember as I was laughing by the man who organized the program, at least for Nigerian standards. I mean, he's a man from this part, he's from Anambra State. He said, I married at the age of 26 or 7, he said. I counted many people that married that I know. Very good and righteous man. All of them were married before the age of 30. So don't tell me they often marry late. I said, whoever told you that is lying to you, all right? That's just by the way. So that's why I laughed, okay, when I was saying that, okay? So you may know that it's the season, all right, to go back and do a higher degree. And it may appear as if, this job I have, I mustn't lose it. And that's the reason why you won't follow the next path that you know is right. sometimes there is a season to start out in ministry, and you're thinking, ah, what am I going to do about this other thing? You want to leave, and you know, I've said it before, be very careful. If you know something is your calling for life, be very careful how you relegate it to the background. Do you get what I'm saying? Let me say it to you one more time. Be very careful. If you think something is your calling for life, be careful how you relegate it to the background. I remember a woman who used to call me those days, because I don't know how exactly how he got my number, but we never met. He was a banker, and used to listen to me on radio, and every time he would call, and you see the pressure of his soul was what was pushing him to call, and we would talk and talk and talk. I gave him advice, gave him counsel. I could feel it. He said it himself that he knew he should be doing what I'm doing. He had the calling strong in him, but used to work as a typical banker from early in the morning to late at night. And it was just difficult and tight for him to break out from that and launch into what God wants you to do. Listen to me, you can't give excuses. So a man came to the Lord Jesus Christ and said to him, leave me first, let me go and bury my father. And what it meant, all right, there are many things that I had another explanation of it recently. But the one I understood before, which is still true, even though I had a new one now, what he was saying is that, let me go back home, all right, and wait for my father to die. He's old. If I leave now, there will be nobody to take care of him. Are you getting my point? Now, the explanation somebody gave recently, that the man was concerned about his inheritance. If I'm not at home when the man dies, the money may not get to me. You get my point? So the man said, let me go back home and bury my father. And Jesus said, leave the dead to bury their own corpses. That is, leave those matters. You don't concern yourself. It's not that they are not important, but they are not primary. There's a reason why you were born. You cannot say, I can't follow the Lord yet, except I'm free of all entanglement. I like the words, so Chambers says it. He said, the call of God, following the Lord, it's never really measured by what it costs you. It measures actually by what it costs those that you love. Are you getting my point? That is, when Jesus was moving around, it was his people that were embarrassed. It was his brothers and his mother that gathered one day and said, let us bring this our brother in. He has gone beside himself. They were the one concerned about the name of the family. You are getting what I'm going to explain. So as Otimba said that, look, obeying God often costs seriously those who are around you. And those are the times you really see the challenges. So Jesus had to say, there is no one who will love father and mother more than they love me, all right? Or who will not hate father and mother and all of that would be able to be my disciple. That is, if you want to follow me, you must be ready to love less or hate, it appears like, those that you love, so that you can follow me very closely. So what am I saying? That is, sometimes to follow the call of God for your life may be tight. It may feel very much like that, but it's never accepted as an excuse. When the time is ripe and the signals of the Spirit is that this is the time, you have to overcome the fears. You must follow the will of God, overcome the fear. And that's what I'm talking about, courage to conquer. You must have the courage, okay, to go out and do what you are supposed to do. He said, if you don't do that, you will not reap. There will be no harvest. He that observes the cloud, he said, will also not reap. Solomon was telling us. So in the time of harvest, there must be courage. In the time of harvest, there must be boldness. All right? We can't wait for things to be perfect. You know, I told you before, one day I heard somebody say that, now that I have settled this area, it is now time to go into ministry. And I thought to myself, if I say that, God will literally end my life there. I'm not joking about it. All right? This person said it. Do you get my point? Maybe like, assume he's a businessman now. He knows he has a calling of God for his life to teach the gospel of Jesus, or to go around preaching the gospel. So he went out, established a very good business. And when he had made it, money was flowing. And I said, now that I have settled that side, it is now time to do this one. I smiled to myself. I said, well, you try. If I just try this one, what you do? The kind of suffering and punishment where I go get, I will shout loud in the afternoon. You know what I'm saying? The flogging is going to be loud and clear. Actually, it is not right. You cannot settle everything first and say, now the conditions are ripe and they are perfect, I want to step into ministry. Arrant nonsense. It doesn't work like that. In fact, God will ensure that they are never perfect. Every day you want to go out, something else will pull you back. He said, he that watches the clouds, who observes the clouds, will also not reap. The condition will not be perfect. You just have to get up despite the imperfections of the conditions and go out and do what you are supposed to do if you have come to discover what you are supposed to do. That's why we're talking about the courage to conquer. God wants to bless people. A lot of times they just settle down. I told a story a few weeks ago that And God does that for his people a lot. When you get sacked, be happy. You hear what I said? When you get fired, be happy. I was teaching somewhere yesterday evening in a success academy in one particular church. And I said, look, one day is coming, somebody's going to get fired. I said, be very happy. Rejoice and be glad the day you are fired. You understand my point? Sometimes the reason why you are fired is because God looks and says, this boy, if I don't sell him into slavery, the love his father has for him, this is my Joseph, he would never be delivered from it. I remember the story of Noah Elikia Kanam. He's a bishop of one Pentecostal assembly in Asaba. He came to my alumni convention to come and preach and explain something that happened to him many years ago. When he went into, he was a journalist, and he had a call of, for ministry. So he went into one newspaper, I think Observer in Benin, to go and work. And he told the Lord, he made a personal commitment to God that 2 years I will work here. At the end of 2 years, I'm going to leave this thing alone. At the end of 2 years, he was enjoying himself. He was comfortable. You understand my point? The conditions were not perfect for ministry, but they were perfect for where he is right now. So why disturb my soul? 6 months later, he was still there. Still there. And the Lord said, okay, let's arrange this boy. And look, we rejoice and be glad in that day. You get what I'm saying? The Lord said, let's arrange this boy. Miriam Babangida came to Benin and they took a photograph. Did you hear what I said? A photograph. You hear what I said? Photo of Miriam Babangida, and they put it in the news to show that Oga's wife was around, first lady. And the people, the board decided that the photo was ugly. And they fired him. They told themselves that the photo was ugly. And that why should he embarrass the first lady and thereby embarrass the company by publishing an uncomplimentary photograph? He did not take the picture. That's it. Bobo was fired. He went to court. Nigerian Union of Journalists gathered. This is injustice. And can you fire a man for ugly photos? Let me summarize the story. He remained fired. They won the case in court. He remained fired. Finally, he talked to himself that, let's be honest, I was not fired by these people. I was fired by the good Lord in his infinite mercies and everlasting kindness. So he got up and went into ministry. Went to Winners, he was director of academy in Dominion. First, I think, anyway, their Bible school, then Dominion Publishing House. Finally, he now left and went to the Faith Liberation Center in Asaba. I heard the story from his mouth himself. What am I saying? Rejoice in that day. Sometimes fears, all right, won't let us do what we are supposed to do. And God occasionally will help us and have us fired. You know, I discussed that something some time ago, that when you're about to leave a place, it is good that people don't want you to go. But even though they don't want you to go, still go. Today I was preaching. I got to a point. I just said, I finished what I'm saying. Everybody was protesting. I said, you're enjoying yourself. But I know I'm the preacher. I know when the anointing has finished. Yes. The clinic where I used to work those days when I was in Lagos. That was the last time I did clinical practice. The day I resigned, he said, why are you leaving? I said, I know when anointing to do something has finished. The anointing to work here, it's finished. I can feel it. No virtue departed from Jesus, and he felt it. I knew when my anointing was exhausted. I woke up in the morning, I discovered the anointing was gone. So what am I saying? He that observes the clouds will also not reap. So in the time to reap, you need courage. You get the point? You do. Many people are comfortable where they are right now. And it's the very reason why they will not go beyond where they are to where God wants them to be. You hear what I said? They are afraid of what they don't understand. They are afraid of what they don't know. Christians walk by faith. Once we understand that we are walking progressively with God and it's taking us from one level to another, when it's time to move to the next level, let's leave the matter in God's hands. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? There's a small trick for that. Get used to eating little. You follow my point? But anyway, don't worry about it. Don't just worry about it. Listen, following Christ demands courage. The only thing is that he supplies the courage with which to follow him. You hear what I said? If you heard it, say amen.
Amen.
Following him demands courage. A man showed up. They had heard about him. John had thought about him. And he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. They left their boat, left the means of livelihood they had known to follow him. That demands courage. That's why when the man came and said, I will follow you, but first, Jesus said, go and ask Peter. His father is still alive and well. Go and ask James. Go and ask John. Their mother was here the other day. You are getting the point I'm making. All right? It demands courage. Many of the things God wants to pour into our lives, we will miss them if we are not courageous enough. Sometimes you just have to close your eyes and say, no, I'm leaving this job. It appears secure. It appears good. I am going back to school, as an example. You know me. You know the way I talk. You know what I believe. I'm not saying that you need that certificate, all right? But for different people, there are different pathways in life. For you, God may say, this is the next level. Do you understand? Sometimes it is, no, it is time to leave this and go and commence this line of maybe ministry. Or it's time to leave that and go and commence this line of business. It is time to leave this, all right? You know, let me tell you something. One of the reasons why men, I'm not saying women, men, a lot of men, you know why they don't want to marry? You know why? There's a reason of some, there are some foolish reasons I don't have money yet. That's a foolish one, amen? Most of the time, that's not true. It's just a lie, all right? But for some people, they have money yet, you know what I'm saying? But suddenly you have to be accountable. Yes, I know people that's their problem. Because those days, when I was a single man, weekend like this, we just come. Just say, this Lagos just did dry. Just carry your bag. Say, and they come. Just trip, go Bini, go meet your guys. Hey, guys, what's happening? Hey. Saturday, nothing, Sunday. Early morning on Monday, you're rushing back to Lagos because you didn't tell your guy you're not going to come to work. You didn't have to explain to anybody. You could be going one direction on the way, you just stop and say, why am I going to be near? May I just go back, Donjo? I mean, this guy did that. May I go see him? All right? So those are the things that young people sometimes and single people enjoy. You know, just go and then you spend your money the way you like it. Nobody's asking questions. I just going on the road. You just say, see this suit, my God. You go buy them. And the worker go say, man, see food. Just chop them. If you're doing anything you like, the way you like it, anytime, you can just go and say, this is a new LED Samsung. Wow. 72 inches. How much? They tell you 600,000. Say, I go, they pay small. You go collect them. There are things you don't do if you have a wife. You go look at the television and say, I got buy now. I say, I can't carry it home. You just say to yourself, I can't take this thing home. She brings order into your life. By the time it's 5 o'clock, you know, now they look at your clock. I say, why are you looking at your watch? My wife will be wondering where I am. These are the things that some men can't. They can't stand it. They can't stand it. You follow my point? When the Lord Jesus told Peter that your wife is yours for life, Peter said, in that case, it is better not to marry. You follow what I'm saying? That's what I mean by courage. But you see, tapping into God's blessings, tapping into his promises, only comes by obeying those things, even though they don't appear, you know, at that time as perfect. Listen, how you know you don't have any faith at all is when you do things only when they are when everything is perfectly arranged. You will never fix wedding date until the whole money is complete. You won't start any business until everything is complete. I'm not saying you shouldn't plan, no. But it is not possible to plan completely. There's an element of risk in everything. And you must be willing to take that risk in life. Because life is a battle, and you can never predict how your enemies will react. Am I wrong? You go plan. Say, when they come from this side, we'll fire a few salvos from here. And then when they arrive from here, we'll bring our tanks and bomb from this side. Then you get that the enemies won't come at all. He said, where are they? They will suddenly come from under the ground. Are you getting my point? All your plans, boom. And that's just the way life is. You start a business, this amount, then they just say, the dollar is now 167. A few weeks before, it was 150. But should we, because of that, not start businesses? No. As dollar changes, we adapt. Things get tough, we adapt. We bring in new strategies, we overcome. That's just the way it is. But you can never be absolutely certain of everything at the beginning. I was saying that what happens a lot of times is that people are comfortable where they are. And like somebody said, the enemy of the best is not the worst. It is the good one that is the enemy of the best. Because if it is bad, you will fight it. But when it is good, you say to yourself, a bird in hand is worth two in the bush. That is not Christianity at all. A bird in hand, 2,822 birds in hand, is not worth one that God is yet to do. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because that which he has not yet accomplished, Miles Monroe said, is called potential. And God is omnipotential. There's so much he wants to do in your life. Anyone he has done has been done. Behold, I do what? A new thing. He wants to do something new. So the enemy to get into where God really wants to get to in life, all right, is that success and victory that you have in this particular season. I've said to you before, one of the major problems people had, that is black people, was that they didn't have the ability to think greatly. Once they have a job that supplies enough money to build a small house, pay rent, meanwhile, buy a few, they say, I'm okay. He said, Pastor Banky, what's a man looking for? A man has to fulfill the purpose of God in life. He has to provide jobs for other people. He can't just take one job that other people have provided and say he's okay. He can't be okay. It's wrong to be okay at that particular point in time. You have to get up and provide jobs for other people. You get the point. So what happens is that people are comfortable in a place and God starts unsettling them. I said you should open to a particular scripture, right? The book of Joshua chapter 18, verse 1. Said, then the whole congregation of the sons of Israel assembled themselves at Shiloh and set up the tent of meeting there, and the land was subdued before them. And there remained amongst the sons of Israel seven tribes who had not divided their inheritance. Now, please notice verse 3. So Joshua said to the sons of Israel, how long will you put off entering the possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, has given you? Now, notice that. How long will you put off entering to take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, has given you? He now said to them, provide for yourselves three men from each tribe, that I may send them, and that they may arise and walk through the land, and write a description of it according to their inheritance. Then they shall return to me. And then he now went and gave some further instructions, all right? But what I want you to just see here is that God gave them something, but they just settled down and did not get up to do something about it. Now, that's Deuteronomy chapter 2. Just quickly, let's read that one. Another thing I just want to point out from them. If you read in verse 24, God said to them, all right, the Lord spoke to Moses. He said, arise, Deuteronomy chapter 2, set out and pass through the valley of Arnon. Look, I have given Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land into your hand. Begin to take possession and contend with him in battle. This day I will begin to put the dread and fear of you upon the peoples everywhere under the heavens, who when they hear the report of you shall tremble and be in anguish because of you. Now, what have I read here? And it's the fact that God gave these people a land, but they had not even bothered to go and take possession of it. At the time, they had rights to it, but just to get up and share it, they were not willing to do it. And why is that? It's simple. Because they are content with what level they are in. Let me give us an example. Because it's very important that people have vision in life. You hear what I said? It's very crucial. You must always be reaching for the next thing. You see, what God does is that gives you a dream. All right, and this is the way I say it now. I'm not being dogmatic, but it's just my interpretation of it. All right? God gives you a dream. A dream is beyond you, really. It's just a deep desire. Are you getting my point? It's just something you will like to accomplish. That's just what a dream is. But a vision is different. A vision is something you want to do, and you know how to go about it. Did you hear what I said? Let me explain what I'm saying. For example, as it is right now, I'm using Kingdom World Ministries as an example. Let me just give you a part of the dream that I have. All right? A part. I would like our, let's say, books. I keep on writing. All right? Maybe we'll read a few new books every year, and we'll have thousands of them going out on a weekly basis. Are you getting my point? I like the ministry to be on air all over the globe. I'd like us to have a media center somewhere from where we are producing high-quality materials and turning the whole world upside down. Be on virtually every radio station in Nigeria. You know, stuff like that. Covering Africa by satellite radio, particularly South America and Asia also. Those are dreams. You are getting my point? Those are what? You know why they are dreams? I don't know how to do it. But every day we have a new vision. As of today, we finally concluded we are paying on Monday to be on radio in Benin. All right? We started to go 2 weeks ago. We're starting to Benin, maybe by next month. We're paying them on Monday. You follow my point? Now, we've been on Omega Channel for a while. Settled there. What are, you know, like they say, what's the man looking for? We're not owing money. God always sends us enough resources to pay all of that. But we can't settle down there. We have to keep moving. So the next vision was, okay, let's expand our reach through radio. From there, we'll move over to Benin. Now, those are what? Visions. That's what I mean. Each time we have a vision that, okay, once this one settles, we'll go here again. I know what to do. I know what I'm waiting for. I know why we haven't done this. I know what we are planning to do. Now, two things I want to say. Number one is that as you fulfill each level as visions, that's all you can do. Now, like I said, that's my own division of it, all right? I'm not being dogmatic about the term you use, but the principle behind them are very correct, okay? So each time God gives you what to do, He said, occupy with this until I come. Now, He didn't tell the people exactly what to do with the money. He just said, do what? Occupy with this. He didn't tell them multiply it tenfold. Did He say so? But there was a man who multiplied it tenfold. Why? After I did the first one, the first doubling, He said, we can do better. He kept on going. He said, now that we have 5 talents, what we are going to do is that let's invest like this. Let's cast our bread upon many waters. Let's invest in foreign trade. Let's buy ships. Let's rent ships. Let's do this. Then when they came back, they found out that, oh, they had bought this one, brought this one back. They had made money. He said, oh, now we have this amount. Let's go in again. He was never settled at a particular level. All right? He kept on reaching for the next level. Those were visions. His ability to fulfill each level, all right, was what the Lord now used to bring forth a dream in his life. Are you getting my point? That is, he could not have plotted how to take over cities, but he had money. He knew how to do business with that money. You understand the logic? One is that is as you fulfill that subsequent vision, okay, that God determines the level he can put you in that dream that's beyond you. That's one. The second thing I want to say is that, I've already explained it actually, is that for that reason, you should never be settled at a particular level. Never settle somewhere and be content as in, you know what I mean, complacent. But you must always reach for the next thing. You hear what I said? You must always reach for what? For the next thing. You know, I've said it again and again. You know, sometimes I'm not impressed by what people do. I don't expect that, you know, after you started business as a young man, you had one shop in Obete. 5 years later, it's still one shop in Obete. 10 years later, and your own is that, don't underestimate this my shop. It is from here that all my children have gone to school. Don't underestimate this my shop. It may look small to the eye, but oh boy, great things have happened from here. That's a black man's mentality. It's why he didn't build Walmart. You get my point? It's not only black man, every man that's not going far. That's his mentality. I remember a friend of mine, well, a senior friend, all right, senior to me, Dr. Siche, he's in Jos. He owns a clinic. Now, this was his own vision. You can go and check it out. It's called Faith Alive Clinics. His job, his vision was that People shouldn't pay for medical care. Health is so crucial. It should be free. He opened a small clinic and said, this clinic is going to be totally free. Now, that was his vision. Small. I can imagine, he didn't tell me this, but I can imagine at the beginning all he could do was consult for free. After a while, they gave drugs for free. They were just doing things like that. He and his wife struggled. You know, he was working in the teaching hospital, he's a specialist, and they just kept on doing this thing, struggling. They're along the line, people saw the thing that they were doing, people began to volunteer. A lot of his colleagues in the hospital, that's where they spend their leave. Once a week, they come, run a few clinics. The last time he and I saw, he showed me the brochure. By that time, he had a clinic that was built for the cost of 100 million naira, totally free of charge. He didn't pay a dime. People heard what was going on. They just spread globally. Some Americans came and said, we see the work you are doing. We would like to donate something to you. He said what? They said it's 100 million. You should build a clinic. He said, I don't take money. If you want to give me a clinic, build it yourself. So he said, no problem. Ever quit. So they leveled the place where he was using. And in 6 months, handed him the keys. He showed me the pictures. Three floors, 0, 1, 2, fully equipped. He said his cost on consumables in a month for laboratory, I think he said 6 or 3 million. Let's just take 3. Consumables in a month. You know what they call consumables? What we mean is that, for those who do not know, buying reagents, buying cotton wool, buying syringes, things that you use and they go away. Not things that are bought like a microscope. That's not a consumable. That's supposed to last the next 20 years if you maintain it well. But things that you use daily, water, you know, stuff like that. Now, listen to me. Let me just tell you something. He wasn't making a dime from there. They offered. Listen. Those people offered. They said, Oga, please, take this work as a full-time job. We'll pay your salary. He said, no, I work in the teaching hospital. If I was asking my advisor, what do I think? And we'll discuss it. Let me not tell you everything that we discussed, okay? Listen. When I saw the hospital, he said, patients will come and say, no, it cannot be free. Finally, he had to set up a place where they collect money. And they put a big sign there. This is a free hospital. Anything you put in here is taken as a donation. They don't bill you. They operate surgery, anything for you. They do what they... And people... Those guys were paying 10 doctors for him full-time. One of the best hospitals in the world, Mayo Clinic. They send students there for attachment. You're getting what I'm saying? Now, why did I tell the story? You would have thought he would have rested. That's where I'm going. You would have thought he would not rest. Dr. Lishan, I'm okay now. I mean, the thing is that, in fact, that now I don't have to walk. I just go there and say, guys, what are you doing? People, everybody falls over themselves to volunteer. His colleagues in the teaching hospital volunteer, they come. Maybe I consult 2 to 5 o'clock on Wednesdays. That's it. Every week, the person is there. And you are talking people that you will have had to pay hundreds of thousands of naira to maintain those services. They just come by themselves, offer it free of charge. He said, oh, the time I struggled was at the beginning, but now I'm at rest. Funds were coming from everywhere. One Baptist mission sent money from America. They heard what was going on. Now, that's not my gist. My gist is that, he said, now what we are doing, this is where I'm going. He said, the next thing now is that we are not having outreach centers. We are having satellite hospitals. Ha! You get what I'm saying? I thought he would have rested. I pray that Christians will have that mission mentality. Listen, it's not just to have free clinic. That's for him, all right? That's where God led him. Your own clinic may even be one in which people pay. It can be one that's not expensive. And you can have a small special one on the side that's for people who have plenty of money and who want to pay. As an example, I'll give you an example. But whatever it is, once you have conquered one territory, don't ever forget, Christians, go to the next territory. That's what I'm saying. Your shop, it was 5 years ago. My brother, it should have stopped being a shop now. It should have been a whole, you didn't understand my point. Not just one shop, it's a whole line. People think that, you know, where we went today, they ask questions. Somebody said, why is there preachers like to, what was the question again? I said, people must look ugly. Preachers dress poorly. I said, no lie. I dress very fine. I said, nobody should confuse us as looking ugly. It's the same as being holy. It's not. One said, why do Christians fail? I said, it's not true. We don't fail. It's people who like to fail that I'm going to hide behind that. It's because I'm suffering for the gospel. It's not true. You get my point? It is not, so look, listen, it is not holiness not to have dreams for expansion and increase. It's not at all. You bought a bus for transportation 15 years ago. Till today, you have 2 buses. Today, after 15 years. You should know you sinned and God is punishing you. You should know. You should know. You don't need a revelation. You don't need a preacher to tell you. I mean, if you had a child 15 years ago, till now it's the same height. You know, go worry. This is my boy, hallelujah. He walks in his own time. 3 years after, he's not walking. So his time is not the time of everybody else. 8 years later, Abba, you better go and pray for the anointing of Chilavat. You know what I mean? Yes, it's crucial. And that's the same thing about it. When it comes to businesses, it must grow. It must grow. And not just bossing. I say, this boss self, what is wrong with sheep? Yes? There was one man ahead of some men in Nigeria. The day they bought their first, they finally, through lease or whatever, took charge of their first sheep. That was the day they knew they entered into something. And that's one thing. A lot of people are afraid. What if the sheep sinks? And that's why they have insurance. Don't be afraid to pay the insurance man. Pay him insurance. And if peradventure there is no insurance, listen, they say nothing ventured, nothing gained. I like Robert Kiyosaki in that area. He said, I know many poor people that have never lost a dime, but I've never seen a rich man that has never lost money. Then they say, hey, did you hear? Brother Anjale Koko lost 5 million naira. You know, I was telling him that time. Me, I may not have money, but at least I've not lost my 5 million. Fine. What you do not realize is that while losing 5 million, he learned a lesson of 50 million. And the next investment is making 200. See, I don't know what they are using. They must be using something. Yes, they are using something. They are willing to take risks. They are willing to venture. They are willing to take risks. They are, you know, listen, you know, one of the things, you know, this is ministry matter, right? Let me just talk about this more. One day a friend of mine said that I was supposed to go somewhere and go and do this ministry. He said, what do you think? I said, let me ask you a question. If nobody sent you, would you have gone on your own? I said, if your answer is yes, go. If your answer is no, don't go. I'm going somewhere. Listen, a lot of people, there was a day a man came here, was chasing me around. He said he's into ministry. And that there's a church where he's pastoring. Now listen to this. I didn't know as much as I know now. If it is now, I'll tend to stop deceiving me or yourself. And that power flows through him. Amen? So I asked him a simple question. That why? Now, listen to me. He said he went to meet Pastor Ayo Richard Jaffa or something. Whether he wants to open branch in Enugu that time. The man said no. He went to meet, he mentioned about 3 big names that they were not willing. So he had gone around. So I asked him a simple question. Why are you meeting people? If you are so anointed, do this thing now. He said, there is money. I said, what do you mean by money? That to rent a hall, you need money. Okay, let me just see what I want to say. Let me forget all the things I told him. But like, okay, now, you are going to meet Bishop Omobude to come and open branch in Enugu. Why? Because you need his money. After a few years, you say, God called you to be on your own. The man goes swear for you that time. You are getting what I'm going to explain. That's the mistake people make. If indeed you are called, why do you need to go around begging people to come and send you because you need their money? They are afraid to stand on their own. That's why people do things like that. I told you some time ago, in Winners Chapel, Bishop Oyedepo, well, they made some decisions in the ministry and they let a lot of preachers go. They relieved them of their appointments as pastors in the ministry. And many people were so angry. I heard some even went to court. And the reason why Bishop did it, I don't know the details, but one of them is that he insisted that all the pastors should have at least a first degree, that is a higher degree, all right? You must have one. Well, I don't know the details. I'm not there. But I remember what my friend and I discussed then. He said, why are they angry? They should ask themselves a simple question. Why did they come there in the first place? I can't imagine somebody say, you don't pastor for me anymore, and I will be angry. I won't be angry. I'll be sorry for the congregation I'm leaving behind. Angry about what? I will cross the road, rent a garage there, and continue preaching. Do you follow my point? A lot of those people, why? Look, this is a spiritual reason. God says, instead of you to have the courage to go out and do what I sent you to do, you've looked for where to go and hide. Now have, you know, I told you, when they sack you, don't be angry. Shake your head like this, shake your body and say, Lord, where the door, where you open? People want to hide under other human beings. So when the man says, I don't want to cover you again, they vex. Meanwhile, the initial problem was that the man didn't have the courage to stand on his own. I tell anybody going to ministry, if they want to send you to go open branch somewhere, if you would not have gone on your own, better forget it. Yeah, it's simple. Because one day, you are going to get fired. Yes, it happens a lot in Pentecostal ministries. And usually what happens is that you suddenly grow wings and think you can be on your own. If you are not called, don't just bother. Are you getting my point? Hey, see, don't... Oh God, the Lord is good. Anyway, I'm talking about those who are called, if indeed you are called. And not that, look, listen, you must have that courage to stand on your own. And if you feel like, let me go here for training, it's good. Or God called you, feel like this, you're supposed to cooperate with this person to carry this vision far. It's all right. But actually, technically, you are standing with God alone in your mind, just like you're working with somebody. Are you getting my point? We need that courage. That's what I'm talking about. The courage to conquer. You need it. And you should not be afraid. A lot of people, they are in such places. They are comfortable. I like the story Ken Hagin told that the time he resigned and went into what they call field ministry was the time he was the most comfortable outside, that outwardly speaking, in his whole life. He was pastoring one of the biggest churches he ever pastored. He was earning about the heaviest amount of money he had ever earned. All right, and the money was coming regularly. He was living the best personage he has ever lived in. He had ever lived at that time. And the people loved him. And the ministry was growing. The church was growing. The people were getting blessed. He was seeing healings, miracles, all kinds of things daily. People were getting saved regularly, filled with the Holy Spirit on a regular basis. But he knew something was out of order. So finally, he got up one day and left. He wasn't angry with anybody. But he knew, I have to conquer the new territories that God ordained that I should conquer. And because he did that, you and I still quote his messages till today. Are you getting my point? Because he did that, he trained thousands and thousands of preachers that he sent worldwide. Because he did that, all right? The ministry is still there, vibrant, even years after he had left, gone home to be with the Lord. The ministry is still out there, blessing people on a regular basis. There are few people I quote as much as I quote Kenneth Hagin because I listen to him a lot. I've read virtually every one of his books simply because he did that. He had the courage to move to the next level. He had the courage to do exactly what God wanted him to do. And that's what I'm talking about. We need that courage. I was saying something that you see, greater things beyond the one you have seen is what God wants you to receive. And if you are not willing to take that, in quote, chance, if you're not willing to take that step, if you're not willing to, you know, the problem is that people are, they love their lives. That's what I want to say, all right? If you're not willing to lose your life, he said, the person that will lose his life is the one that's trying to preserve it. Do you get my point? You know the story I told before of Sunday Bakari? In summary, he was earning money and he was okay. He was about to get married and they fired him. And when he went to tell his pastor, Pastor E. Adeboye then, I told him to pray for me last week or a few weeks ago. Now I've been fired. And the man said to him simply, the reason why you were fired is that God is saying to you, in effect, the kind of prosperity you are asking for cannot be paid to you as a salary. You understand the point? That is, if you have stayed there, all you will have received is a good salary. But now that you have to leave, you are going to receive much more than a good salary. I'm adding my own words now. And you will be able to pay other people the kind of salary that you were believing God for before. God doesn't want us to be fired all the time. There are times he expects us to wake up by ourselves, have that courage, and do something. Let me say something to you. Somebody asked me today, what are the steps to take? I said, listen, you don't need the steps. Just keep doing what is right. Now, I'm going somewhere. I said to him, many of the people from whose life you analyze steps now, do you follow? They took those steps in confusion. I gave Joseph as an example. Are you getting my point? There's a reason why I'm saying this. If you think every great man that became great knew exactly how the greatness played out, will play out in the venture he went into, you are deceived. What am I saying? I am not saying, listen, that you'll be reckless. You want to start a new business, settle down and plan. Check. Do your feasibility studies. Like I said to you, there's no you will never have everything together. And if it appears like it is too good to be true, then it is not true. That's why it's called too good to be what? True. You can never have everything perfectly in place. If you see everything that looks like it's perfectly in place, thank God that it's going to soon scatter. It will. It will. You hear what I say? It will soon scatter. Don't worry. I'm not saying you should stop because of that. Go ahead. But just know that your perfect plan will soon go crazy. What I'm just saying is that when you have done the best you know, there will be a lot of chance matters. I'm not talking about recklessness. You understand my point? No, I'm talking about recklessness. I'm talking about there will be a lot of chance matters, things that you are not sure might work, or other things that you don't even have enough information. I'm saying to you today, don't let that dissuade you from doing things. That's what I'm saying. Are you getting my point? No, you mustn't let that. You must not let that. I don't know, this example is not a good example. I've seen people those days that are not believers. They said, before they marry, the woman must be pregnant. Yeah, you know their reason. They don't want a case in which they marry finish, the woman can't conceive. Let me tell you something, just as Christians, you can't say that, amen? Two people will flog you. God will flog you. I will flog you myself. There are thoughts that can't go through your mind. In Jesus' name, it must not go through your mind. I cast that from anywhere near your environment in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, what I'm trying to say is this. In Christianity, we have promises anyway, but that's not what I want to focus on. You say, what if? I say, that's it, too bad. What if I take my chance, I live my life according to the word of God? It's not based on guarantees that this will happen. Okay, I'm sure I will. No. It's just because it's right. So, that's how, I mean, people were quoting for you. That's how this man did. He did what is right. Listen, if you got my mail a few weeks ago, I said, if you do what is right and the consequences are bad, right is still right. And we don't change our minds because, I mean, it was not nice. You've heard me quote Peter Daniels. I talk about him. Go and ask him. I think the first three or four businesses he started collapsed. They asked his wife, what were you thinking all those days? She said, I just believed he knew what he was doing, that eventually things will work out. Now, his children carry gold, that is, literal gold is their currency. Now, you follow what I'm saying? You get the point I'm making. But he ventured. The Bible talks about not loving your lives unto what? Death. They overcame him by with what? The blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives unto death. A point comes that it appears that you are going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It always comes before you go to a new level of increase. The courage to face those seasons is what I'm talking about. In the last many weeks, we've talked about the promises of God. All right? And I told you that I'm going to bridge the two of them. It's important we look at those promises. For example, I was thinking about it today. Actually, Christians are on two things. One, they're on assignment. You've heard me say that several times. As part of being on assignment, they are out there to actually enjoy themselves. I don't know what I hear what I said. Let me explain what I mean. I was reading them, Ajay Lutunu, Mover of Men and Mountains. He said, sometimes he will finish eating. And his wife said, are you going back to work? He said, no, I'm not going back to work. I'm going to go and play with my toys. What are his toys? His great inventions. What are his toys? The great machines that he designed. What are his toys? The great things he had built. So he told his wife, I'm not working. What do you mean I'm working? I'm just going to play with some toys. He said, for him, listen to this, work is fun. Now, there's a reason why I'm quoting that. We're on assignment, but God actually wants us to enjoy what we are doing. I'm going somewhere. So that even if, and you must have this mentality, even though the thing didn't bear the kind of fruit we would have loved it to bear, we still enjoyed ourselves while we're doing it. So we didn't lose anything. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, God can sit you down and provide for you where you don't have to go anywhere. But he said, no, I don't want to do that. I want you to have some fun. I remember those days when my wife was working in UBA. She would disturb me. I want to go to Onitsha. I said, this young woman, what are you going to do in Onitsha? Then one day she went and she bought ties and sold in the office. I was like, so finally I sat her down one day. I said, let's talk about this thing small. All this traveling, I don't know where she got those ties from that time, whether in Onitsha or Lagos. I calculated how much she invested, how much she sold it, how much money she made. You understand my point? Now, listen, before you know, see what I'm saying, I was wrong, all right? So I want you to get the point. So don't say that. Hey, let me see the wisdom in what this man is saying. No, it's the foolishness of what I'm saying that I want you to hear, all right? So I explained to her that it's not worth the hassle. I showed her how much she earned working then. She was working in UBA. And that this is not worth all this stress and all of that. And she said something to me. She said, it's not the money. I just enjoy doing it. Did you hear what I said? That idea of, let me go and buy something, let me bring it, let me sell it, let me collect my money, it's fun. I actually enjoy it. I know working here is better. I just like the thing. I can testify to you today. She still does the same thing. She doesn't work there anymore, but she earns more than most of her colleagues that are still there. What am I trying to say? Okay, at the end of the day, because this is our personal, I can't go into details of, okay, at the end of the day, what do you do with the money? Let me summarize like this. Nothing. There's a reason why I just want to summarize it like that. It's not about, one day I go buy a Lexus. You know how I get Lexus when I want? I pray, eventually I go get Lexus. No, that's not supposed to be a joke. But every day, as Christians, we should have fun. You understand what I mean? This weekend is one of those tough weekends in my life, all right? I preached yesterday. I preached this morning. Yesterday evening, I was in a church preaching. This morning, I was in Oko preaching. Tomorrow morning, I'm back in that church preaching. I'm here now preaching. Tomorrow afternoon, we're back in Oko preaching. On Monday morning, I have a lecture early in the morning. You'll get my point. But do you think there's a time to say, this preaching thing again. Now, wow, this is my bag that pay myself. This guy calling, I don't know. No. And it's fun. I mean, it's just fun. All right? As of today, I earn far better money practicing as a pathologist than I earn as a preacher. Kingdom World doesn't pay me a dime. But it's still fun. Are you getting my point? I'm not explaining something to you. You have to see your life like that. The next realm of being, say, what if it doesn't work? Well, you had fun in the process. That's what I'm trying to go to. I can't just sit down somewhere and you're not doing anything again. You want to die young? You want your brain to shrink and be competing with that of a baboon? No, you got to exercise this thing. You can't sit in a job where once you start feeling like a machine, leave that job. That is, your brain is not even working. It's just going by itself. When you get there, your hand will just get up and find something else to do. Are you getting my point? The complacency of the fool, the word literally in that verse chapter 1, talking about complacency, is actually prosperity. But the reason why Bibles like New American Standard use the expression complacency is to emphasize something to believers. And that's the fact that when a fool prospers small, he relaxes in his prosperity. And that's usually what destroys him. As a matter of fact, anybody that doesn't make growth a part of his or her life is dying instantly. The business begins to die once it stops growing. The life begins to die once it stops growing. The brain begins to shrink when it stops enlarging. My wife is one of my best students, all right? And I have good influence in her life according to the word of God. She's back in school doing a master's program. Listen, she registered for an MBA the day she resigned from UBA and is not planning to go back to look for a job. She's doing an MSc, and I said, once you finish, you enroll for a PhD. Pastor Banky, why? A few reasons. One was the most important reason that the brain must keep enlarging. Your children shouldn't come one day and be telling you you are old school. None of my children will have that privilege. Never. We'll go sit down there. World events, both of us will be in front. I will not defeat you with the wealth of experience I have added to my own. I was an adult by the time your mother had you for me. I mean, you see, sometimes, you know, there's this thing in the culture. After a while, the children just think that the fathers don't know anything. And it's just true. Because the father just said, those days, there's no those days. As far as I'm concerned, I will be up to date with the current technology. Yes. There's nothing happening in the technology world. I don't. Listen, if you see me give people lecture, my colleagues, you say, did this Android matter? What is it? Sit down. I will tell them what is Android. Explain it. The difference between the operating system on their phones and the parts made by Acer and all of that, and that made by Apple. I will explain why one is different from the other. Explain everything in details. You will never leave me behind. You see me analyzing the different kinds of processors for my colleagues. You could just say I'm a computer engineer. None of my children will come one day and say, that is old school. Which kind of rubbish old school is that? My brain goes shrink. They say brain stop growing at the age of 2. That's a lie. Mine is still growing. My head is increasing in size, in case you have not noticed. So I told my wife, they say, you can't just, I don't care whether you have any money or not any money for doing this business. You must know book. You must know book. You must be able to look at world economy and analyze it intelligently. I mean, I remember then I was watching the World Economic Summit, you know, the one in Davos, Switzerland that holds annually. I like watching things like that. Yeah, I mean, listen, okay, what is George Soros saying? When the man was explaining the problem with the sterling, I had to go and investigate. I told the one day my wife and I were talking, somebody was talking about different kinds of money. Her first degree was in accounting. So she said, asked me a question. I said, how do you know these things? I said, what do you mean? He said, no, I know it, but I had to go to university to learn it. How do you know it? University is book, no be so. The books are available. I bought it. I mean, one of the books I bought recently is Economics for Dummies. That's the title. This is for Dummies series. There's one group in America, but very good books. All right? I said, let me just be sure what is going on. So it's at the head of my bed. I've not read it yet. I've picked a few pages. Things can't just be happening out there and my brain will be empty. I should know what's going on. There are adults who still don't understand why Nigeria doesn't print money and they say there's no money. Do you know that? And you're not laughing because you didn't understand. There are those who say, there's no money. Let them print money now. After all, we're the ones printing the money. Government will not pay. So what is the problem with minimum wage? Just go to CBN, tell them to print more money. And you give it to the people as minimum wage. There are adults that still don't understand why that is not a good thing to do. There are adults that still don't understand it. So when somebody saying that, vote for me, they say, yeah, I'm going to print all the money you need. Don't print. Don't print it for the guy. I told my wife, I beg, we got to sharpen this brain. Are you getting my point? What am I saying? That's Christianity. We have to keep going and conquering the next horizon, all right? The next thing we see, we conquer it. We don't sit down in one spot. That's the complacency of fools. It is the complacency of fools. If you feel like a calling is in your area, I mean, you're in one line of calling, you feel you're in one line of business, think about things that are in that area that have gone far ahead. You are getting my point. You enter transportation. I mean, start thinking, check the price of a Bombardier. Yes. Go and find out how much they sell it. Said, don't let the price of a 737 scare you. Let it be a dream. They tell you that the Dreamliner, and is it the A380 or the Boeing 787? One of them was put at the cost was $550 million for one. Don't be scared. Take a picture of it. Write $550 million below it and put it in your drawer. Just keep it there. You say, that's about $550 million. If I calculate in nine, I go get headache. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly, far above all you can ask or think concerning an A380. Yeah, he can. In a lifetime, he can give you a fleet. If you know how financial things work, it won't even impress you with that statement. You know that that's too small for God to do. You know it's too small. You will know it's too small. What you should be praying about now, if you're in that area, is expansion of Nigerian airports. Because you cannot land an A380 in Enugu. The wingspan will remove this our building. You don't want to. So you are beginning to wonder, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you see, you can't carry this vision alone. Are you getting my point? You can't. Joshua didn't enter alone. The rest of the people disbelieved. They put Joshua back in the wilderness. With all his faith, they didn't say, oh yeah, Joshua and Caleb, join hands. You can go into the promised land. The rest of us will meet you in 40 years. It's not possible. What am I saying? You start praying for the people. Because the Federal Airways Authority of Nigeria, all right, doesn't build bigger airlines, you can't land your A380s. Your 787s cannot land. So you start praying that God will expand the hearts and the minds of other people that are with you. As for whether God will give you A380, around rubbish, he will do it 10 times over. The prayer point is whether Nigeria will have space to land it. That should be your prayer point. You have been importing from China, from India. Haba. It's good. Is it bad? No. But be dreaming. Now spirit they make and there. Now human being. Why can't they make it here? This is my traveling all the way to China. Why can't I just go to the back of my house? It's a good dream. Be importing them. Be selling good ones for now. But you have dreams. You have dreams. I mean, if you're a doctor, as an example, Nigeria is a place of, there are so many things to do and do right. There are so many. I was in my office yesterday. They were just describing the experience I had when I was at MD Anderson Cancer Center. My colleagues were putting their hands on their heads. I said, the day we went to their theater, and everything, the man just manipulated some machines, and everything was on the screen all around the rooms. Hi. And the patient was asleep. No knife, just tubes. Hey. You know, we're just describing it, and all of us said, these things are doable anywhere in the world. That Indians went abroad, took those things and went back home. And Nigerians are still taking pride in the fact that they went abroad for surgery. You hear that the minister had an accident. He went to UK to go and have his knee rearranged. There are things that people that have sense don't say publicly. Tony Blair's wife delivered when he was in office. They took the woman to General Hospital. Woe betide him if she had gone to a private hospital. They would have impeached him the next week. You know those people? They say, you are saying that our hospitals are not good enough for you. They sack you. But Nigerians say, I'm just coming back from London. I went to have my baby. And this is a minister's wife. The day I become president, I'm not going to talk. I'm not going to talk first. I go, just wait. May one go first. As he arrived with that baby, I sack her husband, their family, anyone in civil service, home. Anybody still want born abroad amongst my ministers? They say, no, sir. Will they go traditional bath attendants? I I go look you. And I mean, no, I'm sorry. This is just a matter of fact. That's the problem we have in Nigeria. Minister is sick. He'll go abroad. Where things work, they won't allow you. Ah, yeah. Oh, no, die here. That's their own. Die here. I mean, and the annoying part about a country like Nigeria is that it's unnecessary. You live here, you go and meet your people. When you reach there, your doctor is your friend. Ah, oh, but you don't come. Wait, I came for this procedure. Okay, lie down here. We'll do one for you. They're all over the world doing it. Anyway, the point I'm making is that great visions to have. Great visions to have. I was telling you about one of my senior friends now that his own was just for free, entirely free healthcare delivery. And you see what God has done for him. See what God has done for him. Then, from Mayo Clinic, they came to install the VSAT with which they were having live conferencing. Go and check what they call Mayo Clinic. These are hospitals that have been there for over 100 years. Private. They just saw this man, that this man is serious. The gist spread. How he spread, he doesn't. When he was telling me, he wasn't sure. But people just came to him and said, we have heard of what you are doing. They were pumping money into that place. They begged him, please, do this job full time. We will pay your salary. And he said no. They said, okay. They hired for him 10 full-time doctors. With all the volunteers he had, the place was booming. People were coming from everywhere, having free medical care. When I say free, they gave drugs free. They treat you for a whole month. Do surgery, do everything. When you are going home, they wave you bye-bye. Some people say, no, we are not going anywhere. They will now go and pay by force. No bill, you just pay any amount you like if you wish to. I'm trying to explain something. It was a dream. He began to do little by little and see what God brought to pass in his life. Begin to have dreams. And then start stretching little by little. Little by little. You need that courage so that God will be able to release the breakthrough he planned for you into your life. That's what I am saying. All these things we call security around, there's no security in them. I was saying the other day that my mother and I were talking. I wanted my brother to work in NNPC. He said, it's government. I said, what is government? NITEC was also government. PHCN was also government. You know what I'm talking about. Now they are stealing to pay salaries now. Yes, they steal from people like me every day. They come to our homes and put bill, because we don't have prepaid meter. They come to my house in a month and tell me 15,000 naira bill and tell my neighbor with prepaid meter, 2005. Is that not stealing? I just look at the people. The days of your power will soon come to an end. Thanks for vexing me. I turn you to prayer point. Yes. You know, I'm not making that an issue. It was government. The days have come to an end. So there's no security anywhere. Until a few days ago, there were three banks in Nigeria. One of them was called Spring Bank. One was called Bank PHB. The third one was called Afri Bank. Now they don't exist anymore. They were sold for 3 naira total. Three whole banks for 3 naira. Was it 3 naira or 3 kobo? 3 naira to Amcon. So if you had shares in it, your shares is now equivalent to 1 naira divided by 1 billion shares that it was there before. In effect, nothing for you. The banks were liquidated entirely. They are closed. Your share is gone down to zero. Zap. Nothing. And please, don't complain. You're actually owing money. They just forgave you the debt. Yes? The shareholders are responsible for everything. I hope you know that. Yes, you are. So Amcon has actually paid your debt. So just, you think, go home and worship. Go home and do what? Worship. For those who thought their children would go to school based on that investment, I hope they understand the point now. Now we have three banks. Keystone. Main Street. That's the one I can't understand. Back Street. You see, one is Main Street. One is Keystone. The other one is Enterprise. I like the Enterprise one. It's enterprising. There's no security. It's adventure. You get my point. To reach out to conquer for God is what? Adventure. Look at it from that perspective. Don't look at this and say, I want to be rich. No, whether I'm rich or not, at least let's have some fun. Real good times. You understand my point? Just investing, speculating, dreaming, plotting. In the midst of the multitudes of those tradings, You'll be amazed that one day God will say, put this one in charge of 10 cities. It will happen to you.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, he's talking about me.
He's talking about me.
I said, he's talking about me. That will be your portion in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I begin today to speak on that subject. The courage to take charge of these things. I've described what God wants to do in your life. Don't be afraid, because he will do it.
Amen.
Let's bow down our heads and begin to give the Lord thanks.